You're listening to Heart to Heart Podcast with Lena Kevlani. Heartdesire.com, online art gallery.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Heart to Heart Podcast, a show that features the stories of people who have integrated art and creativity into their lives to bring about a change. This is a show of creative possibilities. I'm Lena Kevlani, and I also run Heartdesire.com online art gallery, the home for UAE-based artists. Today, I have the honor of hosting the amazing Diyali Sain Bhalla on our show. Diyali is one of the best abstract artists in our region, someone who continues to mentor and inspire a lot of women and men around her, and she is also the chairperson of Dubai International Art Center. Diyali's work is rooted in sustainability, and each art piece of hers carries a very fascinating story. Welcome, Diyali. How are you doing today?
Hi, Lena. Thank you. That was very kind and glowing words, I must say.
You deserve every single word.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Diyali, let's start by you telling a little bit about yourself, your childhood, and how did you get into art?
Good story. Throughout my childhood, I was surrounded by art because a lot of my family members are artists in their own right. And I am a Bengali, as you know, and Bengalis are rooted in art and music, and there's art and music and culture everywhere. That's how I grew up. So my father is an artist, and he is my main inspiration. I've grown up smelling paint, linseed and turpentine, and feeling the texture of paint. And I used to always interfere in his work, and whenever he used to leave his painting behind, I used to go and just
do something
on it. And he used to get so wild with me, but there I was, and I think that's where the love of art really came on, and I wanted to do everything that had to do with art. And slowly as I grew up, I think what happened with me was that I started quite naturally seeing everything through the eyes of a pencil or a paintbrush. And that's been my childhood. Yeah, I was painting and drawing on everything, much to the chagrin of my family, on doors, on walls, on windows, on everything.
Anything you could find.
Yes, pretty much.
Sustainable, yes. From day one.
Yeah, so that's my story. Yeah.
Upworking everything along the way.
Yeah, and that continues.
That continues.
Yeah.
So your dad is the one that's inspired you. Do you want to talk about him? Do you want to tell us more about him?
Yes, I definitely do, because I think this question would lead on to the other answers also as we go along. So I feel artists are, there are some who are born artists. And when I say born artists, they find creativity in art in everything that they do. And some are learned artists who do art as hobbies because they like art. My dad is of the previous category of born artist. And why I say that is because he found art in everything. He was a carpenter. He was not a carpenter by way of living, but he loved carpentry was his element. And he found expression in metal and wood stuff to do, and very creative. So everything that he made in the house was by him, very creative. And again, he was an engineer, so he did air conditioning. Even in that, there was creativity, I felt. In his workshop, I found things of art everywhere, made with, you know, screws and nails and wires and stuff like that. He was always working. And of course, painting. And I think that's what I admired, because here was this man. Of course, he had to earn a living, and he had to support his wife and his children and put us through school and blah, blah, blah. But he was so rooted in creating all of the time. So I saw him and I was like, wow, I want to be like that. You know?
Yeah.
So, yes, that was him.
Oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And did any of your siblings take up art or?
No. No. So my brother, my sibling joke in the family, because none of them have. I have a brother and I have my cousins, of course, and none of them have. Even my children don't. They're creative in different ways, but not in the way that I am. So it's very funny and I find it very strange. But
So in my family, there's a story that I'm adopted. Because I was born in Africa, so they were like, she's definitely adopted, because nobody painted.
Oh.
We do have musicians in the family.
But no artists.
No.
Oh.
And it was amazing. Like, you know, where would we find her? Where did she come from? Oh, she came from Africa. So there has to be something there. She probably got switched. Oh, nice. And then from there, you went to university and you grew a lot more. Do you want to talk about your university days? And was there a professor that you admired or feared? Like, oh my God, he's going to critique my work.
Okay, so two things. One is I went to design school. I went to National Institute of Fashion Design.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
yeah.
So that's what I did for 2.5 years after my BSc. And that was very interesting because, of course, it had to do with creativity. And I love fashion and I love clothes. And I found this love that I had in that sort of an expression. And it helped that I drew a lot because I found great interest in fashion illustration, which is what I still do. And NIFT was great for me because I met very interesting people and the teachers were lovely. And the teachers were more friends than professors. So... to answer your second question, I've never been afraid of any teacher or wanting the approval of any teacher.
That's amazing. I think that's really good for people to realize and understand that you can stand in your own truth and expression. Each piece of yours has a story to it. So how do you, when you're creating a piece, does the story come to you? How do you express it? Or as you create, you realize the story? I'm very fascinated because I know each piece of yours has a story.
So in the beginning, I always had to plan something. Okay, now what story do I want to tell? Or what do I feel? Or what do I want to express? Or what do I want to paint? But as time has gone on, and I'll speak about now, my process now. Yes, everything has a story because I find, I'm on a spiritual path for many years now. And I feel I need to share. And a painting, I don't write. I write poetry, which is something nobody knows about me.
Oh, that's one of your did you knows now. Yeah. There you go. Things you didn't know about Diwali.
Yes, so I write a lot and I feel that writing and my painting expressions is how I want to share and talk to people about things. So every painting does have a story. So when I write those 150 words, it is about that. And mostly my stories and my painting is about life and the different perspectives of life and how do you see life, how do you handle
situations,
daily life and situations. So that fascinates me. And human beings fascinate me. You know how life fascinates me in every form. So I think I found expression in every one of my paintings being that. And more than anything else, my paintings are empowering. And I want them to be empowering to anybody who sees it so that when it's hanging up on their walls or they view it even for 2 seconds, it should fill them with hope and vitality, you know?
Yeah, it should change them in some way.
Yes,
motivate
in some
them.
Way. Yeah. Yeah. It should. If art doesn't change you, then it's not good art. I feel if it doesn't inspire you, if it doesn't make you remember something, or it doesn't kind of dig a memory out of you, then it's just like kind of art. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. You're an abstract artist. That's where you found your expression. Yes. But a lot of people truly do not understand abstract art, right? They literally think, oh, I'll put some paint here, put some paint there.
Yeah.
It'll be an easy piece for me to do. But there's a complexity to abstract art, and the more I have met you, the more I've spoken to you, the layers and all, I think to me it's I've realized that the complexities go even beyond. So what does abstract art mean to you? How do you want to express it?
Okay.
That would be something fascinating. I think a lot of our listeners would like to know.
Actually, that's a great question because I get that question a lot, and especially from my students. And you're right, a lot of people who do come into my class or who do attend my exhibitions, they ask me that it seems very easy. And I've heard that a lot, even when we go to very famous museums.
Exactly.
And art exhibitions.
Yeah.
And there would be a red canvas with a black line running through it, and people are like, what is that? Even a 2-year-old could do it. So this is to these people that I'm addressing this answer to. The thing is, abstract art in its definition means non-representational art. But what does that really mean? So abstract is complex, yet it's simple. It rides these two boats very carefully. right? So any good abstract artist will be able to tell you really that the trick of a great abstract artwork is in its simplicity. But the more simple the line is, the more simple the stroke is, before you reach there, you have to go through the whole complex journey. You can't just reach the simplicity just like that, right? It's like anything in life, right? You have to master the entire thing to reach that one simple line. Yeah, and this is the same thing that I tell my students as well. When they come thinking that, okay, I'm interested in art and I think abstract art would be very easy to learn because, like you said, but no. The thing is that we don't think in the abstract. Normally, we are conditioned to think in objectified stuff. Like if I look at that chair, I look at it as a chair.
Exactly.
Because I've been told that that's a chair.
We've been taught that's
a chair. We've been taught. Or that's a red color because we've been taught. Right? Imagine a world where you don't know anything and it's all thrust at you. How would you see that world? You know what I mean? How would you visualize that world without the aid of language, without the aid of conditioning?
You know, that reminds me of, you know, when a baby starts to recognize things around. If we tell them this is red when it's green,
yes,
so-called, they will think it's
yeah,
red
yeah.
because we've told them
yes,
it's red.
Yeah.
But that fascination in their eyes
yeah.
when they start to hear a new
yeah,
sound.
The wonder.
The wonder.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when you're talking to me, that's what I'm imagining,
yes.
is that wonder.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. You have to have the wonder of seeing something in a new light.
Right.
Okay, I know it's a chair, but can I see it in anything else but a chair? That is abstract. And I think this form of curiosity is what I bring to my classes and my students. And I hope I continue to do that, because when I see my students in class and with every class, they are filled with wonder. Oh, really? That can happen? Oh, really? I can get that color? Or, you know, I
yeah.
can really see that? That's what is fascinating, because they become babies. And I always encourage people that go back to the time when you were a child, when you were not conditioned, when you didn't know the good and the bad and the ugly and I'm right and I'm wrong. There is a place beyond all of that, to quote Rumi. And that's abstract art. You know, where you make your own world, where this is your own sight.
Yeah,
this
it doesn't matter how the house
wonder.
Is.
Yes.
When they used to scribble a house, this is my house. Because
yeah.
in his imagination,
it is.
It is his house.
Yeah. Yeah.
His father is bigger than the house. Not a problem.
Yeah.
There was no sense of
space
and my father has
yes.
to fit into the door
yeah.
and the door has
yeah.
to, there's no sense.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm expressing
yes.
myself.
And that is what abstract art is about. But of course, talking about the complexities of art, there are so many technicalities. But all of the techniques can be learned and can be absorbed in a very uncomplicated, simple way. It doesn't need to be... I hate schooling. I hate that. So I think all of what I do and all of what I learn, I keep learning even till today, is about just in fun and games. You know, just learning. If you just look at something and you say, okay, what is there to learn in that? You know, that curiosity.
Are there any artists who inspire you other than your dad?
Yeah, I am very inspired by a lot of artists. A lot of artists who we know are famous names. And also a lot of contemporary artists that we have now. I mean, names are a jumble in my head right now. But for instance, Kandinsky and his very childlike art. Helen Frankel Taylor, even Van Gogh. Actually, I've always admired Van Gogh, not so much for his art, but for what he achieved as a person, you know. And I always talk about his life to my students, because, and simply why, because everybody now is so result oriented, you know. How much recognition can I get for what I do, and how much money can I sell my artwork for? But the really great artists who, like what I mentioned before, who are born artists, they don't care about all of that. For them, it's art is sustenance, right?
Yeah.
So even Van Gogh, as we know, he never sold a single piece while he was living.
No,
and he didn't.
Didn't
care. He just painted, right? He didn't care where the paints were coming from, and his brother was sponsoring him, of course, and he didn't care whether somebody liked his artwork or not. But and that's the thing with a lot of artists, and I think that is inspiring for me, that I shouldn't care what results my artwork is getting, whether somebody is liking it enough to buy it. Okay, buying is a byproduct of it, but first, if I create with that complete openness and openness of expression and wonder, that I'm just doing it because I have to get it out on the canvas or the paper, you know, and then we'll see what it is. I think that's what needs to be understood by any artist, which is difficult today because everybody's looking for, you know, the satisfaction of somebody else validating their artwork.
You're also the chairperson of Dubai International Arts Center, which has been around from 1976, right? It's actually one of the first places, or the only place I knew when I was trying to learn art.
It was.
And I used to go there.
For the longest time.
And I want you to just tell people about the center, because, you know, honestly, I don't think a lot of people even understand the history or the depth behind the art center, as we lovingly call it.
Yes. Great. I mean, thank you, Lina, to give me this opportunity to actually talk about the art center, because that is really our life. Yours, mine, everybody else's.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So just for all our listeners out there, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the art center. First, about its history. It came about in 1976, and that's what our gallery is called also, Gallery 76, because of its inception. And it was just formed by a core group of artists, you know, just a few people together at that time in Dubai when there was really no art center. There was nothing to support the artists.
There was no
such
art courses.
Nothing. As what happens in the beginning of every city, right? So they came together and formed a community, which was called the Dubai International Art Center, and community which would facilitate the artists to come together and paint. And probably if there were some artists among them who could do courses, they would. And from there, we have grown to 2022. And over these last couple of years, I think it has only grown because of the serious, heartfelt commitment and dedication by the people, the members. And I really truly feel, because yesterday we were having a meeting and this was constantly in my mind, that where so many businesses, and we know art centers or studios which have shut down during this COVID period, why were we still open? Yes, we are struggling. We struggled then, we are struggling now, and what all businesses do. But why are we still standing on our two feet is because it's a community. It's not a person-owned business. It's a community. So the members have come together to hold this art center together, you know. So we have a lot of courses going on. And just to kind of
run through a couple of courses
is, of course, all the art and painting classes, oil painting or watercolors or acrylic mixed media or any of these, even offering to children and to adults and everybody alike. You also have pottery, sculpture, hand building, which you teach as well. And so we have teachers like you who come forward and they join our art center, and they are precious members of the art center then. Then we have technical courses. We have music. We have fashion design, we have garment manufacturing, we have jewelry making, language, and then we continue to offer different workshops. So when people just come in, I mean, there are a lot of people who come in from out of the country and they're just on a visit visa for 3 months maybe, and they have something different to offer, like say different kind of jewelry making or paper mache or wood carving or
metal work, sculptures, yeah.
Yes, anything, and they want to come and give to society and community to say that I want to teach this. Yes, and they all welcome at the art center to come and give a workshop, do a demo, and just it's open to public. Anybody can attend and come in, and we have our own little coffee shop, which is our own art center coffee shop, where you can just come and eat and drink and chill. And I feel that the art center, at the heart of the art center, there is love.
That is so true. There's so much love. And
yeah.
I mean, from the time you walk in, it's like you're welcome.
Yes, by everyone.
By everyone.
Yeah. There is no programming of you should do this, you can't go here, you can't do this. And I felt that in other studios that I have visited, that they do this, you can't stand here, and what do you want? They're always afraid of what anybody's going to come and take from them. While at the art center, anybody is welcome.
And it's very giving.
It's very giving, and your suggestions are taken very warmly.
Or even if you need help.
Yes, any help. So in fact, we do a lot of projects. Even out of the art center. So there are a lot of people who kind of contact us for sustainable projects or for any art, the other art projects or other events that we can do, whether it's music or dance or giving workshops or art or craft or anything. And we're always willing, and we have a ready team to always go and do that. We've done a lot of corporate workshops. We are open to any event. In fact, even out of Dubai. You know, so we take our good name even out of Dubai. We do art residencies. We do other art events anywhere out art. And when they know that, you know, the people, us, are a part of the art center, they always, everyone I've ever met have always had a warm word to say about the art center. And I realized that through all of these decades, we are standing because of just this, the community standing together.
You know, one of the best things about the art center, and I say this very openly, is when I have new moms coming in, they say, we didn't even know this was here. And the kids get fascinated by paint everywhere, you know, clay everywhere, projects happening everywhere. So, you know, it kind of opens their wondrous eyes.
Yes.
And they see, oh, how did she do this? You know, and they'll go up to it and they'll look at it and they'll start to ask questions, yeah. And that curiosity gets sparked, yeah. Right?
And I think, you know, Lena, you teach kids, and we have a lot of children's classes,
exactly.
Of all different age, yes. Groups. And the beauty about the art center is I've seen them during their breaks running all over the garden and everywhere. They're so happy.
Yeah, they'll actually ask me, can we have snack time and can we have running time?
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, it's 45 degrees outside. No, teach. Can we just go sit on the grass,
yeah.
10 minutes?
We'll, yeah.
Come. It's as though they want to ground themselves. They feel so happy in,
yeah.
This. And I'm sitting and going, it's 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Come inside.
And there's no one to tell them you can't be here. You
can't
do
sit
this.
Here, you can't, yes. Do this. Yeah, that's so true.
And that's what happens in a lot of places. So even in the art studios, if you see, I mean, people are, you know, throwing paint on the walls, on the floor. That freedom. The vibe which I get.
I love, that's,
yes.
The vibe,
exactly, the freedom of creativity, you know what I mean,
right?
So I think according to me, I would not change a single thing about the art center, rather than just probably clean it up and spruce it up, which is what we are doing now. But this is what I would like to tell everybody, that okay, see, social media exists and everything, we are everywhere, but to just come and experience the art center,
you have to, guys.
Yeah.
And it's the Dubai International Art Center is located right behind Mercato. It's between, in the street between Town Center and Mercato. If you just put it on your Google Maps, it's right in the heart of Jumeirah. Just walk in, grab a coffee, come into one of the open days that they do, and come and experience what is happening at
and
the center.
Also, you know, Lena, the best thing I think about the art center, and yes, I would call it the best thing, is the staff that works there.
I was
there.
Just going to say that.
Yeah.
The people make it.
Really, the staff that works there, our center manager, Sahira, Shaheen, Myla, Prakash, they hold it all together.
And we have a new section. It's called the Did You Know? These are about three things we didn't know about you. So tell us three things about you we didn't know. So one of the things we didn't know was you wrote poetry.
Yes. So I don't know whether people don't know, but still, one is, yes, I write poetry and prose. Second, I was actually a student of science wanting to do medicine.
Oh, that was me too.
Yeah. And till today, I love anything to do with the medical field. And quite wonderfully and coincidentally, my son is learning to be a doctor. He's in his fifth year now. And I live vicariously through him and his studies. So I love that.
That's, isn't that amazing?
Thing.
You were living, yeah. Through your dad and,
yeah.
And art. And,
yeah.
now your medicine, yeah. Part of it,
yeah.
Is,
yeah.
Your son.
And I think that's what we do through the people in our lives, right?
Right, yeah.
We live them, they live us. And that's how it carries on. So yes, I love anything to do with the medicine field, and I keep dabbling in and learning new things as well. And the third thing you asked?
Yeah, what's the third thing?
That people don't know about me.
Okay, I'll ask you one.
Yeah, all right.
How did you meet your husband, Rohit?
Oh my God.
Famous Rohit.
Oh, that's a big story for another time. But yes, I mean, it was a very, very interesting story. I met him when I was still a student, and he was my best friend. He was my bestest friend. So I think what happened with us was he saw the worst of me before seeing the good parts of me, as what happens in any relationship where you present your best and then, well, they fall in love. It was not the same way for us.
It was the other way around.
It was the other way around. But it was an interesting way that we met, and it was an interesting way that we got married. But yes, he's my partner for life in so many ways. And I think I'm able to do what I'm able to do because he supports me. Every which way. Even when in the middle of anything, I just say, okay, today I don't want to do anything. I want to paint. He's like, okay, go ahead and do that. And more often than not, I have residencies to go to, or I book myself somewhere and I say, okay, I'm going away for 10 days. And he's always supportive. Never say, okay, now what? You know, he'll always be like, okay, just go. You know, so I don't think I would be able to do the things that I do so easily without his support.
Nice.
So I really thank him from the bottom of my heart. Yes, my partner.
Oh. So in my previous ad world, I was known as Mad Lena. Mad Little Lena. For some reason, they thought I was short, but I'm not that short. But yeah. So it's Mad Little Lena, crazy question time. If you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell yourself?
Ah, lovely question. I would honestly tell my 18-year-old self to not take life so seriously, to really chill, because at the end of the day, nothing really counts other than how you are at that point of time. And I think when we are 18, we take life too seriously and we seek validation everywhere, and which is what I also did. And we need proof of everything, who I am, what I am, all of that. Yes, I tell her to really take a chill pill.
Who would you like to play you in a movie? Uh-huh. If there was a movie being made about you. Mm.
So you mean which star?
Yes.
I would choose? I would choose Hollywood or Bollywood?
Up to you.
Anything. Okay, so because I love Bollywood.
Go for it.
I would choose Kangana.
Oh, wow.
She is very... I think like me, she just says what is there and she doesn't care. And I resonate with that
element.
Yeah.
I would have said, like, I would have gone the little Bengali way or something. I don't know why.
That's my root. But I would say to all my Bengali friends, I'm a really terrible Bengali because I've been brought up out of Bengal, of course. And I am not very Bengali. And now as I'm growing older, I'm just going closer to my root by way of food and music and all of that. But I still have a lot to learn about that culture. So I will not, I don't think I can relate to a very Bengali person.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I think this is for you. Since you like your trips, we're going to send you to live on a desert island. And if you could take one thing with you, just one thing, a person, a thing, what would you take?
My sketchbook.
Not Rohit.
My sketchbook.
Your sketchbook. Yes. All right. Yes. So here's to end it up. From your perspective, just a little bit of advice for people who are looking to put their work out there, to sell it or to put it out. What is the one piece of advice you would give?
Okay. So this is actually the advice that I give all my students in my class, which I would tell anybody who cares to hear and take to, is that first and foremost, when we are creating our artwork, not to create with the understanding that I have to sell it, because the artwork then doesn't express yourself. It's all about what you are trying to get out of it. So first and foremost, not even to go after what my style is or how much I can sell it for. Will it sell? Am I good enough? All of those questions you should put in your cupboard and lock it up.
Put it in the bin and trash it.
And trash it, absolutely. Much better than putting it in the cupboard.
At least in the cupboard it stays in.
Yes,
it goes.
Trash it. Because you don't get anything out of your art if you start with that kind of a agenda. Art should just be about me expressing whatever there is. Not about also, we are inundated with so much data. We look at so many pictures and we look at so many YouTube videos, blah, 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 that anything that we do or create is actually what somebody already has, you know. And we take inspiration as just a copy. So rather than doing all of that, don't look at anything. Don't see anything. You are your own unique self. There's nothing more unique than you, right? So when you put that pen to paper or that paint onto a canvas, whatever you create will be something new that nobody has seen. But trust yourself and believe in that. That's very, very important. Rather than saying that, oh, I'm no good, or I think that artist is better than me, leave all of that. You are unique. Believe that what you do is going to be unique, is going to be wonderful.
And as I always said, she inspires all of us. And with this, I'd like to say thank you, Diali, for coming by, for sharing your story, for inspiring us, for telling us about the Art Center. And thank you so much. And with this, we'd like to say goodbye to Diali. This is the Heart to Heart podcast.
Thank you so much, Lena. Thank you, Artisar, for always being there for me. And this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
And next week, we'll bring you another fascinating guest. Take care, guys. Keep spreading the joy of art and keep sharing.